Good morning, beloved. We are rejoicing to be together, and you are in our thoughts and prayers. And this morning, I want to talk about a vaccine, not a vaccine for the coronavirus, but a vaccine for weariness. Wouldn't it be great if we could just take a shot, a vaccine when we're tired, when we're worn out, when we're burned out, when we're weary? Wouldn't that be great if we could just take a shot, then all of a sudden that weariness of heart, mind, soul, and body would just disappear? Well, you know, as we go through life, one challenge that we all have to face is with weariness. And it's easy to get tired. When you get weary, you lose your sense of pleasure. You don't feel the enjoyment that you should. And weariness can steal your joy and your sense of fulfillment. You can be raising great children because you're weary, you're not enjoying them. You could have the most incredible job or a dynamic ministry, and you worked hard to succeed, to be effective, but now weariness has set in and you're not passionate about it anymore. Well, sometimes because the battle's taking longer than we thought, we become weary. Over the years, I've talked to many people who are facing serious health challenges. And for some of those precious folks who are going through round after round of chemo or radiation treatments for cancer, each one hoped that this would be their last round of treatment. I remember when one lady found out she was going to have follow-up treatments for 6 more months, she was very disappointed. She said, "I don't think I can deal with this anymore." When the difficulty is lasting longer than expected, or we're working hard but not seeing an increase, we're believing God for his provision year after year, but time elapses, time goes by, and weariness eventually sets in. And you see, that's what happens when we're striving to serve the Lord. The scripture says, "Be not weary in well-doing." Well, there's no better well-doing than serving Jesus. But you know, sometimes the trials, the struggles, the problems, or like we talked about last week, how do you stay in faith when nothing's happening? See, and that's where weariness can take place, because we've lost our perspective. We've lost our focus on the God who has the Father heart for his children. You see, and if the enemy can't take you out all at once, his next strategy is to try to wear you down. And many people are suffering from battle fatigue, right? The scripture describes that in Ephesians 6. That's why it tells us to put on the full armor of God. They've been hanging in there for a long time, trying to break the addiction, believing for better health, praying for that family member who hasn't turned around. They never dreamed they'd still be single, still be dealing with the illness, still be trying to restore a fractured relationship or jumpstart their business. Now they're tired. And they're beginning to doubt God's care, his love, his ability to provide for their needs. I spent a couple hours this week talking with a man who is very concerned about his wife's mental health. And he's prayed, they've prayed, and it's been years. And the duration of the battle has been taking its toll, and it's affecting their spiritual lives, because they're saying, "God, where are you? We need you, and we've prayed, and we haven't seen your answer to prayer," right? So Paul says in Galatians, "Don't be weary in well-doing." And as I said, the greatest well-doing is remaining faithful. It's trusting God when the answers are not immediately apparent. It's believing God for the best. It's being dependent on him even when you're not seeing his provision. Because God is faithful. He's constantly working in the background in ways that we don't comprehend, in ways that we don't see. See, and God knew that weariness would come, or he wouldn't tell us not to get weary. He said, "Don't be weary in well-doing." That means you're doing the right thing, but you're not seeing the right results. it doesn't seem like it's making a difference. Let me encourage you, God is faithful. Continue to wait on him. Don't let the passage of time talk you out of it. Don't let discouragement cause you to give up. Don't let negative thoughts convince you to settle where you are. Your mind will give you good excuses. Things like, I'm too tired to fight this addiction. I'm too tired to believe for my marriage. I'm too tired to stretch to the next level. I was just thinking about that illustration this morning that Larry gave us about the Olympics. And Penny Oleksiak and her team, a team of four, just won silver in the 4x100 meter competition. And she said, I had to stretch to that next level to beat the American swimmer and beat her by just a point fraction of a second. But how much training went into that moment? It was the climax of all the training in that critical moment. You see, our thoughts say, I've been doing this so long. And if you dwell on those thoughts, you'll allow weariness in. You'll become more tired, more weary, more discouraged, and more negative. Weariness cannot automatically come in. You have to open the door. Now, we all feel weariness, weariness of mind and heart and soul and body. We all feel it. But to what degree do we allow it to take over, to dominate, to influence? Well, when thoughts tell you it's never going to work out, God's not been answering your prayers, it's been too long, just say, no thanks. I'm going to keep my confidence in the Lord. I'm going to depend upon him. The scripture tells me to fix my eyes on the author and finisher of my faith. Well, God's word tells me when I'm weak, his grace is sufficient. Remember that? Paul was asking that the thorn in his flesh be removed. He prayed three times. And there was a delay between each of those prayer requests. Now, some say, oh, maybe it was a physical affliction. I tend to believe it was the persecution, the opposition that came from false teachers in his area that made his ministry so difficult. But God responded by saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And if you just take your biggest font and increase the is, expand it, you know, to the 26, 46, the 50 font. And then take your yellow highlighter, of course, and just color it in. My grace is sufficient. You see, his strength is made perfect in weakness. And that includes our weariness. I know God is still on the throne. I'm strong in the Lord. I've been armed with his strength for this battle. And the psalmist tells us to take hold of God's strength. This is what David did. He was doing the right thing, but the wrong thing kept happening to him. And it went on year after year. His family looked down on him, treated him like he was second class. He could have been bitter and upset. Instead, he kept taking care of his father's sheep, doing it with a good attitude, being a person of excellence. How could he keep standing strong? All through the day, I can hear David under his breath, reminding himself, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. When he was being good, and kind and showing care for King Saul, playing the harp, trying to help Saul overcome his mood of depression and anger and angst. Saul threw a spear and tried to kill David. Now, David could have been discouraged. Oh, God, what's the use? I'm doing the right thing, but this man tried to take my life. Instead, he kept telling himself, David, don't get weary in well-doing. He understood this principle. When you give into weariness, you'll lose your strength. When you start thinking, it's not fair, it's been too long, it's never going to work out, the energy you need to move into the fullness of God's plan for your life is being depleted. I'm not suggesting that you're never going to experience weariness. It will come. I'm asking you to not allow it to undermine your determination and courage to fight the good fight of faith. Don't let battle fatigue keep you from victory. I thought Rhonda's illustration today was particularly appropriate. That was battle fatigue, PTSD. It was extreme trauma for that indigenous man to lose both of his sons. But he said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And though none go with me, still I will follow. You see, there's all kinds of opportunities to turn around and give up hope and be discouraged. But don't let weariness stop you from trusting God for his very best in your life. You're closer than you think. And this is true. When it's the most difficult and you face the greatest temptation to settle, wouldn't you say that's true? When the heat is the hottest and when the trials are the greatest, that's when you say, it's not worth it. I'm going to slack off. Now, how many gold medals, silver medals, bronze medals would these Olympic champions win if halfway through the event, they just said, I'm done. I can't do this. See, their mind is made up. Their determination is like steel. But, you know, it's true. When it's the most difficult, you face the greatest temptation to settle for less. That means the victory is near. The answer is close. The healing is coming and the breakthrough is about to happen. For example, if you want to look in your Bibles at 1 Samuel 30, you have the story of the prophet Samuel. And he'd anointed David to be the next king when David was just a teenager. But 13 years had elapsed since he was anointed to be king. There was no sign of it happening. It reminds me of Joseph and his imprisonment. How do you stay in faith when nothing's happening, as we talked about last week? Well, one day, David and his 600 men returned from a battle, and they found their city had been attacked and destroyed, and all their possessions were burned. Their families had been kidnapped. It was the worst defeat of David's life, truly his darkest hour. Well, the scripture says, David and his men wept until they could weep no more. Now, David was depressed. He was discouraged. I'm sure he was tempted to think, God, this is the final straw. I've been doing the right thing for years. I can't take any more. I'm done. Where are you? Where are you? He could have given up. And wouldn't that have been a tragedy? That would have been the end of his story. He would have never taken the throne. But when David was tired, when he felt like throwing in the towel, he did something that we all need to do. He dug his heels in and said, I've come too far to stop now. The scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, he made this decision. I'm not allowing this weariness, this fatigue, this discouragement to overtake me. I'm going to stir my faith back up. And while the other men were weeping and discouraged and complaining, I can hear David saying, my God is able. My God is able, and I am strong in the Lord. I'm anointed in the Lord, and the forces that are for me are greater than the forces that are against me. You see, you can talk yourself into defeat, or you can talk yourself into victory. The self-talk is the talk that is fostered and nurtured in the Word of God. That's why God's word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man or woman's heart. That's the kind of self-talk that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can stand for him in the hour of persecution, in the hour of testing, when everything is against me. And when I'm weary, I know that God never wastes a painful moment or a difficult experience, and that he has promised to cause all things to work together for good for those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. For he has predestined through my circumstances that I'm going to be transformed into the image of his own dear son. It all depends on whether you believe God's word and whether you confess his truth. When you speak to yourself the right way, courage comes, determination comes, vision comes. Every time you say, this is too hard, this is too difficult, it's too painful, I'm so tired of trying, strength is leaving. Strength is leaving. You're getting weaker. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I can't believe this happened. You're inviting discouragement. When you say, I am well able because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you're inviting strength. You know, the scripture says, for as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. You know, and then the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, it's the influence, the powerful dunamis of God working through his word that gives us the fortification and the strength and the power to stand in the midst of our fatigue. When you say, if God is for me, who can be against me? You're inviting favor. You may feel tired. You may feel weary. You may feel discouraged. Don't verbalize it. Don't verbalize it. Don't dwell on it. Express it to God. Have your cathartic moment like the psalmist in Psalm 102 who just poured out his depression. And then Psalm 103, he has this glorious restoration in his own spirit, his own soul, where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul, listen up. Listen up. It's time to bless the Lord. You may feel tired, but don't verbalize it. Don't give it more power than it deserves. Express it to God and confess your dependence on him. Don't give life to weariness by speaking it out. The scripture says, let the weak say what? Let the weak say what? Let the weak say, I'm strong. It doesn't say, let the weak talk about their weakness. Let the sick talk about their sickness. Let the disappointed talk about the bad breaks. No, turn it around. Yes, this is tough. Yes, this is hard. Yes, I'm tempted to be discouraged because I feel so alone. But you know what? I am strong in the Lord. I know God is fighting my battles. He always causes me to triumph in Christ. That's what the scripture says. And that's what it means to take hold of his strength. Now, Isaiah 40, 31 is a verse that probably most of you have memorized. Now, with your mute button on, say it with me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know that verse? It contains some powerful truths. It says, if you wait on the Lord God, you will renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. What a great picture. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. Well, faint, that's when people faint, it's because they're weary. And when they can't run, it's because they're tired. And when they can't walk, it's because they're burned out. But I want to tell you something interesting about this phrase, they that wait on the Lord. I want you to notice waiting on the Lord doesn't mean to sit back, be passive, or idle. It's like saying, okay, God, I'm tired, I'm worn out, do your thing, renew my strength, just send that little buzz, I'm ready, Lord. Well, did you know that word wait in one translation refers to those who look for God's goodness, those who expect his favor, those who long for his blessing, and those who are passionate about having more of him, not just his goodness, not just his provision, but wanting more of him. Waiting is supposed to be active, active. Lord, thank you that you're turning this situation around. Thank you that you're bigger than this cancer, stronger than these opponents. Lord, thank you for bringing my dreams to pass. Thank you that you are changing me through my present circumstances to be more like you. Listen, you won't soar with the eagles if you're negative in your thinking. That's going to keep you grounded, not in a positive way, because if you're designed to fly and your wings have been clipped because of negativity, then what fun is that? Where's the joy? Where's the victory? Where's that heavenly perspective that you only get when you're flying? You won't run and not be weary if you're focused on your problems and how impossible it is. You're just going to be like a soda pop with no fizz. You know what causes your strength to be renewed is when you live with this expectancy. You have this hope that God is working in your life, knowing that he's in control, that he can open doors that no man can shut, that he'll get you to where you're supposed to be. I can testify to that. You know, my bumbling and stumbling, God always got me to where he wanted me to be. Even when I was blowing it, even when I was failing and not living up to my expectations of what I felt I should be as a believer, God was always faithful to me. He always got me to where I was supposed to be, and he always put the right people there to keep urging me on and supporting me and praying for me, speaking truth into my life, holding me accountable. God's amazing that way. You see, when you get your mind going in the right direction, God will give you rest. You don't have to go through life weary. Nothing that's happened to you has stopped God's plan for your life. Like David, it may be taking a long time. You may have had some setbacks, but God is still on the throne. He knows how to get you to the place he wants you to be. David not only stirred himself up. I love this because he got his men stirred back up. They went out, attacked the enemy, recovered everything that had been stolen. And 3 days later, three short days later, King Saul was killed in a battle and David took the throne. That was some 13 years after he'd been anointed to be the next king. So here's my point. David was closest to seeing the promise come to pass when he faced his greatest challenge. When it seems like everything's coming against you, it's taken a long time. Now you have this new problem. The medical report wasn't good. The situation at work is intensified. Stay encouraged. That's a sign that victory's near. Things are about to turn around. The breakthrough's on its way. Don't get weary in well-doing. It may not happen overnight. You have to do like David and be in it for the long haul. Those 13 years, David waited for the promise. He had to deal with battle fatigue. His thoughts told him, David, this is never going to happen. You wouldn't have these challenges if you're going to take the throne. Weariness came knocking at his door again and again and again. The reason he saw the promise fulfilled was not because he never felt weary, not because he was superhuman. He never allowed fatigue and weariness to erode his trust in God. That's the whole key. When we're going through hard times, you know, we have a tendency to just give up on God. You know, and I can give you a personal testimony. I thought being a follower of Jesus just meant that I was to be a good soldier. And I was also always careful not to ask too much of God. Because I thought, you know, I'm here to serve God. I'm here to live for him. And so I was very slow to ask God for the things that I needed. Because I thought that this is about him. It's not about me. You know, I've learned some valuable lessons. That with all of my efforts to try to please him, he loves me so totally, so unconditionally. And he wants to bless me in ways that I never thought, in ways that I never considered, in ways that I would never approach him. You see, and it's the Father heart of God. He said, if you parents being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is perfect, good gifts to his kids? You know, so it's really helped my faith to grow and to trust him in new ways for the needs of others, for the needs of my family, and for my own needs. And I'm trusting him for strength in those moments when I'm weary, and God has not disappointed. You know, the scripture says, don't let the double-minded man think he'll receive anything from God. Don't be double-minded. Know that your God is for you. He's not against you. That's the principle. David did not allow his fatigue, his discouragement, his weariness to erode his confidence in God. And it was because he didn't allow the weariness a place of influence in his life. He didn't let it have power over his thinking, over his heart's affection for the Lord. When you've been in a battle a long time, you have to be especially on guard. You know, where most pastors stumble is on Monday. Most pastors stumble on Monday. That's when the enemy gets them, right? On Mondays, because they're tired from a week of ministry and then from Sunday. There's a lot of spiritual opposition that comes against pastors. And pastors can grow weary. We all can grow weary, but people who are in positions of ministry, worship leaders, small group leaders, evangelists, people working, sharing the gospel on the streets, people working in the food banks, people who are reaching out in all kinds of different ways, they can grow weary because there's spiritual opposition. It's easy to get discouraged and think, I'm tired of standing strong. I'm tired of serving. I'm tired of fighting this illness. I'm tired of believing in God's care. When you feel that weariness, instead of giving in, learn to look up and say, God, I'm asking you to renew my strength. Do you do that? Do you stop and ask him to renew your strength? Listen, he'll give you a renewed confidence in his power. God will breathe new life back into your spirit. You may be tired today. You've been dealing with a challenge in your health or in a relationship or in your finances for years. You used to believe that you'd overcome, that you'd be victorious. But now you're worn down. You don't think it's ever going to happen. Let me encourage you, what God promised, he's still going to bring to pass. He has a plan for your life. You may have given up, but God has not given up on you. He has your healing, your breakthrough, restored relationships, a broader ministry. Now, you do your part. Get your passion back. Start taking hold of his strength. Don't allow that weariness to take root in your spirit. The enemy wouldn't be fighting so hard against you unless he knew you were close to your victory. You see, the scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. If you're weary and discouraged and burned out, what kind of light are you shining to the people in your situation, in your senior's residence, in your place of work, at school, in your family situation? What kind of light are you shining? See, and the enemy is trying to oppose you. He's trying to squelch that light. So he couldn't take you out, so he's trying to wear you out, get you weary, discouraged. Don't fall into that trap. All through the day, Lord, thank you that you're renewing my spirit. Do you need that renewing right now? Say, Lord, thank you that you're renewing my spirit. Thank you that I can soar like the eagles. Thank you that I can run and not be weary. Thank you that I can walk and not faint. Thank you that I am strong in the Lord. Listen, that battle may be taking a long time, but I believe right now, his strength is coming into you. Hope is coming into you. God is filling you with fresh courage, determination, and vision. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. That's what happens when you don't give in to battle fatigue. You may be in a situation that looks impossible. You can easily let that situation overwhelm you, but God is giving you strength for that battle. His grace is sufficient. Quit telling yourself it's too much and start taking hold of his strength. That loneliness is no match for you. That cancer is not gonna overcome you. That legal problem, that problem with your finances. You know, it may look like it's permanent, but it's just a matter of time before God turns it around. I've seen this over and over again in my life and in the life of my family. Don't let weariness talk you out of staying in faith. What was the title from last week's sermon? Staying in faith when nothing is happening. It may be taking a long time, but like David, the promise is on the way. If you'll stay in faith, well, God will not only renew your strength, he'll renew your health, renew your marriage, renew your business. He'll restore your light. And people will see that light. And they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah. You know this story? 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah had just called down fire from heaven and defeated 450 of the false prophets that worship the god Baal. They're all killed. And it was such a great story. And he was saying, my God is the true God, and all your false gods and all your false prophets, they ain't worth dust. They ain't worth dust. That's the kind of the new King James version. They ain't worth dust. I remember you had that sacrifice. You said, hey, pour water on it, pour water. My God's going to send down fire from heaven, consume that offering, and then all of you are going to be toast. Well, that's exactly what happened. Fire came down from heaven, consumed Elijah's offering, the offering of the other false prophets, and then all of the false prophets were killed. It was a great victory in Elijah's life. But there was a lady that lived there by the name of Jezebel. And when she heard what happened to her 450 false prophets, she was furious. She sent word to Elijah saying, if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow, I'm praying that the gods will take my own life. Elijah was so afraid, he took off running. He ran for a full day into the desert. Can you imagine? He ran for a full day. It must have been hot. Probably didn't have any water or food with him. You know, his robe that he was wearing was probably soaked with sweat. I mean, you talk about panic. It's hard to imagine Elijah, because he's such a dynamic man of faith. I mean, he's seen all kinds of miracles, and he's God's spokesman. But here he is running for a full day into the desert. He ends up sitting under a juniper tree. He was so depressed. He prayed that he would die, because he knew if Jezebel catches up with him, it would not be a quick and easy death. It would probably be torture involved, whatever. So he said, God, you take my life. Just take me now. He says, I'm done. I've had enough. Take my life. Here's this incredible man of faith, one of the great heroes of the Bible. He's seen God bring a child back to life a few days earlier. He outran a chariot. In this particular portion of scripture, he just called down fire from heaven, which was a great miracle. But now, because of one angry woman who's after him, he doesn't want to live. He's laying under his tree, depressed, discouraged, doesn't want to go on. And something absolutely phenomenal happens. An angel out of nowhere appears and wakes him up. Hey, Elijah, wake up. Now, usually when an angel shows up in the scripture, it's to do something supernatural, like to open prison doors, to close the mouths of hungry lions, or part the Red Seas, or something big. But this angel did something interesting. He said, Elijah, wake up and eat. Eat, wake up and eat. That seems like an unusual assignment for an angel. So Elijah woke up. He ate and drank. There was bread cooking on hot coals and a jar of water next to it. Elijah ate the bread, drank the water, went back to sleep. A few hours later, the angel woke him up again a second time and said the same thing. Get up and eat. Get up and eat. More bread, more water. He ate and drank some more. The scripture says, being strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days to his next assignment. His whole attitude had changed. Why was Elijah discouraged, depressed, not wanting to go on? Because he was tired. He was worn out. He was hungry. He didn't need a miracle. He just needed some sleep. He needed some good food and some nourishment. He needed some self-care. Sometimes when we're weary, it's not a spiritual problem. It's a physical problem. He just ran 24 hours to try to get away from Jezebel. He just needed some rest, just needed a good meal. In other words, the angel didn't wake him up and say, be free from your weariness. Be healed from this depression. He said, eat this food. Drink this water. He was saying, Elijah, take care of yourself. Get back in balance. Too often we're fighting battles in our mind. We have no passion. We're discouraged, not because of the enemy, but because of how we're taking care of ourselves. Did you know that you and me were three-part beings? We're physical, we're spiritual, and we're emotional. And you have to take care of all three parts. Listen, you can pray 24 hours a day, but you won't feel well physically. Your body needs to be cared for. You can go to the gym, work out 5 days a week, or 7 days a week, 5 hours a day. But if you're not taking time for your spiritual, emotional side, you're not going to be your best. Living balanced is the key. The word balance. So let's inflate that one too. Balance in big font. Balance. You can stay up all night, not get the proper sleep. And if you do that, you can't expect to feel good. The next day, you won't have the passion you need, the creativity. You won't make good decisions. Some people are praying for a miracle. They're discouraged. They have no energy. But if the angel showed up, he'd say the same thing he said to Elijah. Get some sleep. Get some proper nutrition. Exercise. Do some self-care. Start eating better. Take care of your physical body. You can't drink 25 cups of coffee a day, eat sugar all the time, and expect to feel good. I read where one of the causes of depression is simply not getting enough sleep. And I know many of us struggle with sleep issues. What am I saying? Pay attention to the physical things, the practical things. You can't go against natural laws and expect God to bless you. Your body is the house you live in. And the scripture calls it the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to take care of your temple. Don't put junk in your temple, because that's where the Spirit of God dwells. The real you cannot live in this earth without your body. We need you here for a long time. Don't have your life cut short because you're not taking care of what God has given you. It's easy to work all the time. You know the old saying, burning the candle at both ends. Get up early, stay up late, always thinking about the business, thinking about what we have to do next. But being a workaholic is doing yourself a disservice. Your mind needs a break. Your body needs to relax. That's why in the Old Testament, God required his people to take a Sabbath. It was called a Sabbath rest. They didn't have a choice. One day a week, they couldn't even pick up a stick or pluck a grain of wheat from the field. They had to rest. And even when God created the universe, on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. He didn't have to. He's God. It wasn't like he was tired, but he was illustrating an important principle. I like what the psalmist said, David. This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 123. God leads me by the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, that wording's interesting. He makes me lie down. This implies if you don't take care of yourself, if you live overworked, run down, stressed out, you don't get enough sleep, you don't eat right, eventually that's going to catch up to you. And maybe it's not because you're not looking after your body. Maybe it's because the challenges of your ministry or the number of people that are dependent upon you and the many ways that you give sacrificially into the lives of others has so depleted you that God's saying, listen, if you don't take time to lie down in green pastures, God will make you lie down in green pastures. And you'll probably come to a point where you have to rest. What I'm saying is don't wear yourself out to the point where God has to make you slow down. Too many times we end up unhealthy. We can't do what we used to do, not because of the enemy, but because we're not taking care of our temple. You need recreation. You need to laugh. You need to have fun. The scripture says that laughter's like a medicine. Laughter releases stress. It pumps out all those endorphins and raises the serotonin levels. Laughter causes you to have more energy. Be intentional about your rest and relaxation. Build that into your spiritual disciplines. I can't constantly be serving, you know, and my tendency is I think about ministry 24 hours a day. Just ask my wife, oh, what are you thinking about? Well, I'm thinking about so-and-so and the struggles they're having right now. Or I'm thinking about, well, what programs should we be looking at for the fall? And how can we encourage our staff? And I mean, on and on it goes. And I can literally wear myself out thinking about all the needs of ministry. And I'm trying to be intentional to readjust my focus, redirect my thinking, and take time to rest in my mind and my heart. If I keep doing that, and if I keep burning the candle at both ends, even if it's not running around doing different things, just the mental energy, I'm going to burn out. And I have been there at points. That's bad self-care. But you know what I've learned? If I don't exercise during the week, if I'm not resting, if I'm not finding ways to replenish my own spirit and with my own devotional life, I'm not going to be at my best. I'm not going to function at my highest level. You'll be your most productive, your most effective, not when you're working all the time, but when you're balanced physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If you neglect one area, it will limit what you can accomplish. And a lot of people are good at taking care of the physical, good at taking care of the emotional, but they don't take care of the spiritual. There's no connection to God. There's no intentionality in building your relationship with the Lord. Your life will be more rewarding, more fulfilling when you're in relationship with your Creator God. He breathed his life into you. He knows what your purpose is. He knows what you can accomplish when you make him a part of your life. You'll go further than you can if you just trust in your own ability and your own talents. The scripture says, if you'll put God first, he'll crown your efforts with success. They that wait upon the Lord are the ones who renew their strength. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. His favor on your life will take you where your talent and your abilities cannot take you. And if you're going to reach your highest potential, make your spiritual life a priority. When you get up each morning, take time to thank God for the day. Don't just rush out of the house all stressed out. Start the day off with a grateful attitude. All through the day, meditate on his promises. Keep your mind filled with thoughts of hope, thoughts of victory, thoughts of his unfailing love. His compassions are new every morning, Jeremiah said. Friends, you don't have to go through life weary. Maybe today you need to make an adjustment, a practical thing like Elijah, taking better care of yourself, or maybe an adjustment in your attitude, in how you're seeing things. Remember David's example. You've been dealing with a challenge for a long time. Now you're suffering from battle fatigue. You don't think you can go on. This is a new day. God is breathing new life back into your spirit, there to take hold of his strength. Get your passion back. When you feel weak, declare God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you'll do this, I believe you will run and not be weary. God is renewing your strength so you can soar like the eagles. Health is coming, courage is coming, freshness is coming, greater effectiveness in your witness is coming. In Jesus' name, God bless you, beloved, and it's great to be with you.